I used to have so many men.
How this beguiling woman in her 50s,
she looked like a million bucks,
scams a bunch of famous athletes out of untold fortunes.
Nearly $10 million was all gone.
It's just unbelievable.
Hide your money in your old Richmond because she is on the prowl.
Listen to Queen of the Con, Season 5, The Athlete Whisperer on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What up? I am Dramos, host of the Life as a Gringo podcast. This is a show for the no sabo kids, the 200%ers. Here we celebrate your otherness and embrace living in the gray area. Every Tuesday, I'll be bringing you conversations around personal growth, issues affecting the Latin community, and much more. Then, every Thursday, I'll be tackling trending stories and current events from our community. Listen to Life as a Gringo on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you ask two people the same seven questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same seven questions, including Courtney Cox, Rob Delaney, Liz Phair, and many, many more. Join me on season three of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Seven questions, limitless answers.
Two Teas in a Pod with Teddy Mellencamp and Tamara Judge.
Hi, guys. Welcome to another episode of Two Teas in a Pod. According to Instagram, and I just feel like now is the time to let you guys know.
What? Are you quitting? Are we fighting?
We are in such a big fight that...
Did one of us die? What happened?
We're in a huge fight. We're beefing, and that's why we haven't done this pod together.
Oh, okay. Is that according to the interweb?
The interwebs have said that Tamara Judge and Teddy no longer are doing a podcast together because they're in a serious beef.
No, that is not what it is. In fact, I have missed you so much. It is crazy.
I miss you too.
And it's because I've been working and traveling, as you guys all know, and I haven't been able to. So, and plus, not to mention, there's not that many Housewives shows right now.
I know. We need to we need to broaden our horizons.
I think that's what we're going to do. Now, you guys, after Potomac's last reunion, there will not be any Housewives for almost 3 weeks. I don't know in Housewife history that they've ever done that.
Yeah, that is a really long gap. And even though I do think that headlines will be able to keep us busy talking Housewife stuff, I feel like it's time for us to just talk about other shit too.
Yes, just what's out there in the press as well. Like today we don't have a Housewife show to recap. We are just going to shoot the shit, talk about what's been going on. Now, you guys know that what I can say is pretty limited because
in regards to Orange County,
there has been a lot of questions that have been asked. There's one question that about my trip that I will like to address. And the question is it true RHOC was the reason for your flight to London being delayed? And the answer is no. I saw somebody posted they had to wait 3 hours. It was due to weather. It was not that we held up any plane. It was weather conditions. And as you guys saw, there was a big storm in New York. The Statue of Liberty was struck by lightning. There was a lot of other planes delayed. And the one thing I can say is just thank you to JetBlue Mint for being so good about it. And we got there, a little late, but on time. So it was not, RHOC was not the reason. I don't think airlines just say, hey, we're going to hold off for the Housewives.
Well, it could be because the Housewives were causing such a big problem that somebody wouldn't be allowed on the flight. But there was sadly, I don't think that happened.
There were so many delayed flights going into JFK that a lot of people came in late to the flight to where we were going.
Ugh, but we can't blame you guys.
No, can't blame us. No, I don't think airlines give a shit.
Show me the receipts. Proof.
I know.
Timeline.
I don't have any.
Oh, God.
But Teddy, now you had another procedure yesterday.
I did. I had another procedure. Well, before that, before, like, I think I talked about with you guys how at the beginning of the year, my kind of headspace, like, I always pick that word for, I don't believe in New Year's resolutions, but I always pick a word. And at first, I was in such like a negative place, like after all of my original mm-hmm. procedures and like that huge back surgery that I got on December 26th, that I said my word was going to be cope.
Yeah.
And then I realized that's a really depressing word.
Well, coping's not a positive word, that's for sure.
So then I switched it to strength. And then mm-hmm. I signed up for this Tough Mudder, which, Tamara, you have to do the next one with me.
I'll do the next one. In fact, I've already done one. I've done a Tough Mudder and it was brutal. It was actually filmed on the show years ago. Eddie fell off the monkey bars because his hands were so muddy. And when he fell down, he landed on his pinky and snapped it in half.
Oh,
it was horrible. It swollen. He ended up having to have surgery, but he refused to go to the doctor on camera because he didn't want to look like a pussy.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense. But there is a point when you're doing it. So it's, you know, it's not necessarily about the run. Like, we did the 5K version and then there's, I think, 13 obstacles. Yeah. And the running part's easy. You can do that at your own pace. It's not about time or anything like that. But each obstacle really pushes you out of your comfort zone. And you almost, during them, black out. At least I did. Like, I was like,
yeah.
What
kind of obstacles did you have to do on the mud?
So there was one, which I already do a cold plunge, so it wasn't that bad, other than the fact that it was ice cold water and you had to swim under.
And it was a community one.
And it was blue, you know, like in a port-a-john when they put blue something in the port-a-john. That, so that's all I kept thinking about.
That was the chemicals to kill all the diseases that was plunging in that cold water.
Yeah. And if you go back and watch the tape, you'll see me going, and it's because I wasn't smart enough to think I needed to have my mouth closed when I went underwater. Geez. So there was a lot of water ones. There was a lot of like jumping in holes. There was one where you get electrocuted there. I mean, it's
anything with fire,
nothing with fire. But the one that really got me, it didn't look like the hardest. Like, I remember going up and it's all about teamwork. And, you know, my word is strength. So I was like,
did you go with a group of friends or business from All In? Who did you do this with?
I went with a couple coaches from All In. I went with Matt and George, who work on this podcast and help me with my socials. I also went with Bella's mom.
Oh,
and
nice.
It was like really the power of accountability, because people kind of kept dropping out last minute. And I kept thinking, well, as long as these five don't quit, I can't quit. Because I had found out that I have to go in for my procedure a couple days later. And I was like already making excuses why I couldn't do it.
But yeah.
I'm interested in about the Eddie fall, because the one time where I was like, I don't know that I can do this one, it's super high up. You climb up this thing. It doesn't look scary, but halfway up, I look down and I see that I'm higher up in the air than I've ever been, not in like a plane or with a professional.
Yeah.
And there's no one there if you fall.
I know, they're very dangerous. I mean, the electrocution part, to me, no, thank you.
And also, I didn't really understand the people that thought running through electrocution like this was a good plan. All you had to do was like turn your body like this and you could fit through. And I only got shocked a couple times. But anywho, it was really fun. Maybe we should do a Twats Tough Mudder.
Where did you do it? What
we did
town?
It in San Bernardino.
Oh, that's where most of them are, because you know why? There's more open land there.
Yeah. So we did it in San Bernardino, but the next one is in December in Lake Elsinore.
I've done that route. I did a Spartan there.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, so we're going to do it. Let's do it.
Let's do it.
Anybody that listens to the Twats, you guys could come with us, do the challenge. It's really fun.
So what happened with your surgery? Have you gotten results? Where was it? Was it a real wide open?
So the confusing part was, like a couple weeks ago, or I guess it was 2 weeks ago, I went in for my check, because you're supposed to get a check every 3 months. And everything that I've had thus far has always been on my right side.
Yeah.
So on my left side, they looked and they're like, okay, this spot looks suspicious. Can we biopsy it? And then the biopsy came back. And the good news is, this is the first time a biopsy has come back and it's not been melanoma.
Mm-hmm.
But what they did say was, we think it's pre-cancer. Like we think it's on its way there. Yeah. So we are going to have to do the surgery and remove it. But it made me think, you guys, this is how important it is to get checked, because they found this one so early versus the other ones were like, I mean, my whole back is torn up, but this surgery's, I went in yesterday. It's about this big.
I have one there too. On my left arm. It's about this big. And it, yeah, right down my arm. Yep.
Can we get a little tattoo there where that scar is and say the twat life chose us? Or what?
Yeah, I have one right here. And I was so bummed because it was right after my fitness competition. I was feeling good about myself. And then I'm like, great, this is going to be a scar that you can see.
Yeah, it'll definitely be one you can see. But the good thing about all of it is now we'll wait to make sure that everything's clear. But it forced me to slow down yesterday and actually rest. And I was like, so I feel good today. How are you? I mean, good. You can't give me that much juice, but is there anything new with you?
There's a lot new. I'm exhausted. I can't, the time change and all that. Only been home a couple of days, just freaking exhausted. And I ended up going to Knott's Berry Farm yesterday with Sophia and Caden, and then went out to dinner. So I haven't really had time to just lay in bed and, for the, I don't know what you call it, jet lag or whatever it is, but I'm just trying to power through it. And I think I'll be good after today. I don't really have a lot planned for today. I can just relax and have catch up on my sleep.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
Thank you for taking the light, and you're going to shine it all over the world, and it makes me really happy.
I never imagined that I would get the chance to carry this honor and help be a part of this legacy.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
Mother's Day is right around the corner, and in true She Pivots fashion, we're highlighting moms who've dedicated their lives and their pivots to supporting mothers. The iconic Christy Turlington will join us to talk about launching Every Mother Counts after pivoting from her 90s supermodel days. And later, the co-CEOs of Baby to Baby will share how they're addressing the needs for millions of babies and moms. So tune in and subscribe to She Pivots. New episodes out every Wednesday. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Every family has skeletons in their closet. Mine certainly does. Ones that go back 100 years and reach thousands of miles back to our hometown in Sicily. Ever since I can remember, my relatives told the story of my great-great-grandmother who was killed by the mafia. I'm Joe Piazza, and in my new podcast, I'm taking on a generational vendetta, visiting the scene of the crime, confronting mafia experts, tracking down Italian officials, and even consulting mediums to set the record straight on my great-great-grandmother's mysterious disappearance. And in between the fact-finding missions, I'll be drinking a lot of wine and eating all of the pasta. Come to Italy with me to solve this 100-year-old murder mystery. Listen to The Sicilian Inheritance on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I mean, while you were gone, this was released and lots of people are pretty revved up about it. BravoCon is on pause.
Yeah, I actually heard that a while back that I don't know if this is 100% true, but this is what I heard. I heard that there was going to be no BravoCon this year because the Olympics are going on. I don't know.
Or it's probably a lot for the network to plan the Olympics and then Bravo's Olympics.
Yeah. So I am actually feeling okay with it because coming off of filming and then we start airing pretty quickly. So it's just going to be a lot and I would just not have to go to BravoCon. So I'm fine with that. It'll return in Las Vegas, November 2025.
Well, it did make me think, how are some of these shows going to get drama? Because a lot of the drama that we saw play out on these different seasons were things that happened at BravoCon. They're like, remember at BravoCon? And that was,
oh, yeah.
I mean, and that's happened every year. So, but BravoCon will be back. It will return to Vegas in November of 2025. I don't know when tickets.
But I wouldn't be surprised if they did them every other year, because it's very, very difficult for them to plan it and do everything else that they do yearly.
Yeah, it seems like a hard thing to be sustainable for every single
year. Think every other year would be great.
This next one is Monica from Salt Lake City went on Nick's podcast and shares that she is pregnant.
I heard that, read that, saw that. Evidently, she's had a boyfriend for a while. She went to the doctor for something unrelated to the urgent care. And as they were doing, you know, normal blood work, she found out that she's pregnant. And her response was, but I'm 39. I think I got pregnant with Sophia at 38.
I got pregnant with Dove at 39.
So it happens, Monica.
It happens.
She says they're happy about it. And congratulations.
Do you wish we would have seen this play out on the show?
Yes.
Well, I mean,
do you think she's filmed? I know that they're filming right now, and I know that they don't have a lot of time left. So I'm very curious to hear if she has filmed this season.
I doubt she's filmed. She's doing a lot on social media. But I do think Rihanna said it best. If Sandoval can come back, why can't Monica?
I know. Did you see Christina Applegate lost her shit on social media because of
Robin
getting fired? I love to hear like A-list celebrities just, you know, getting pissed off about housewife stuff.
Well, also, I like Robin as well, and I get heat for it.
Somebody else got mad because Monica was let go. Like you said, if Tom Sandoval can come back, why can't Monica? And was it Rihanna?
Rihanna's the one that said it. I mean, I agreed with Christina on Twitter, because I don't think Robin should be gone. But I also have to say this about the Monica stuff.
But you do think Wendy should be gone.
We're gonna get into that in a second. But before we get into that,
all hell broke.
Did you see what went down with Monica and the hair girl and the stalking and the releasing of the videos and all that right there? One, I think in Los Angeles you're not allowed to record somebody else on a phone call. Isn't that true?
And put it out there publicly, probably. Yeah.
But Monica did. It was her without their approval. So unless Monica got approval from the police station to release that, I don't know what the rules are in Utah, but in California, it's illegal. But who knows?
I know you don't want to talk about this, but Rihanna also said something publicly about Kyle and Morgan.
I did see that. I think she just said, duh. But I mean, I think Rihanna's always been a big fan of the show, and she's watching and she's going to give her opinion. I think the part that makes it really interesting when Rihanna or Christina Applegate or whoever it may be just shows that people are invested in what they're watching on TV because it's an escape for their own life.
Does Rihanna think that me and you are a couple too?
I don't think Rihanna thinks about us, but I would love for her to.
Kind of hoping she thought about me.
I was really hoping that Rihanna would. Rihanna has kept my name out of her mouth.
Well, I was told by a certain somebody on the Orange County cast for us to keep her name out of our mouths.
I mean, when Carlos told me that, I said, do you know how many people could have said this about me? It's the list is endless. It's like the encyclopedia.
Well, here's the thing, Housewives. If you want us to keep your name out of your mouth, keep your face out of the press.
Oh, and off the show. We are recapping a television show.
I know. And anything you do that might be put out there publicly in the press.
And if we're not talking about you, it's an even worse situation. But this is also, I have a bone to pick with you, Tamara.
Oh, God, what did I do?
Why was I the sole focus of Wendy's upsetness? Because
I
said,
think you were a little bit more vocal. I was just
okay. We can roll the tape.
I love when people dig up old information.
Because exactly what I said. Oh, I know you love that.
I no, love it.
All I said was, oh my gosh, I could use a pause from Wendy. And you go, not a pause, gone. But all of a sudden, this is my fault.
She probably likes me better.
Well, who doesn't?
I don't know. I escaped that one. Well, also, you went back and said something publicly. You responded to her
right after Instagram, she left you off her original tweet. She left you off that tweet.
Really?
And I was like, Tamara was at this party too. And by party,
Wendy, I just want to let you know that I really like you and I really hope that you get to stay on the show.
Not with you. And this is Tamara, and she is she's apparently being Karen. She is the fence.
Karen, I am straddling, I am humping that fence. And you know what? The next question, what is the hardest thing about doing the podcast? And that's a perfect example. When we report on something or give our opinions, and because, you know, we're housewives, they have to come at us like, you know, the sisterhood of shut up.
I mean, but I would have to say on this one, it was about 50-50. Normally, I'm just taken down, raked through the coals. But I think after watching the reunion, so you're probably not caught up yet on Potomac, but not to give you a spoiler alert, but Wendy is the one that brings up the fact that Mia's son may not be Gordon's. She brings that up at the reunion. She still crossed the limits and like bring something else.
But, there is no limits on Housewives, Teddy. You know that there is.
I thought you said kids should not be involved. I thought that was the thing. I thought that I get it. Anytime we talk about anything, kids should not be involved. So I'm a confuzz it. Well,
it'll see. It'll be interesting to see. I mean, I'm assuming they're going to have to do a DNA now that it's public, and now she's with the new guy, and this is messy.
It's
messy,
it's
messy, messy.
Just wait till you see the next episode, and then we'll get back into Potomac after we watch the third installment of the reunion.
Going back to Wendy, I would say my issue with Wendy this year is that she didn't want any resolution. She just wanted to argue with NECA, and it's like, okay, that's fine, but we need resolution. You know, this is an issue we're having with Jersey, and Andy put a post out because obviously Jersey's coming out, and he said, you know, we can't continue like this. We can't have a split cast. We can't have cast members, three cast members not speaking to each other. You're virtually filming two different shows.
Even Karen and Giselle or Wendy, who's in the thick of it, can do that.
Yeah. Do you think going into Jersey, you know, the backstory, so many people were saying fire Melissa, fire Teresa, fire, you know, they were saying fire people because they wouldn't work together and there would be no resolution between the families. Do you think Bravo was like, you know what, we're going to play this out. We're going to do another season. If they don't film together, they don't film together. Let's see how it lands and how it plays. And then next season, they're like, okay, you didn't film together. You don't want to film together. You're gone. It didn't work. It didn't work like that.
Yeah. I think the only problem with all of this is it makes me really not care. Like, for some reason, I'm not excited about Jersey. It makes it feel like, okay,
well,
so
I'm a little excited to see how it plays out. And
they don't even film together, right? Like, not even one time.
No.
So what? We're going to see them avoiding each other, not being together at events. And then we're going to see the breakdown between Jackie.
Well, there's a lot of alliances. Jen Fessler and Margaret, not friends. So I'm a little afraid for Margaret. A little afraid for Margaret. Like, you can't, I don't know.
Well, then who's Margaret friends with?
I think
Danielle?
I think going into it when you're filming and they say, you know what, you don't really have to film with that person if you don't want, I'd be like, no, I'm going to film with her more. Because I feel like that's a setup.
Well, all I can say is kudos to Dolores. Looking stunning, looking right in the middle, stunning. Unable to be cropped out.
I know. And being friends with everybody.
Of course she's friends with everyone. She's the most likable peacekeeper. Yeah. Doesn't seem like she's
It's kind
of
like
shit.
Me, right?
You know what? I was actually going to make that comparison.
I mean, just like me.
Dolores, I think, is the most secure job on this cast at this point.
Probably. I was going to say Rachel, too, because I think she's a little neutral, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, I don't know if you need two neutral people. I'm good with just one.
Well, we just need people to film together.
We just need people to have fun together, film together, and fight. Is that so much to ask?
So who should go, Teresa or Melissa, if it came down to it?
I think if they have to let one of them go, they're going to have to let both of them go.
Yeah, it's a difficult one. I mean, I don't see the show really without Teresa. I really don't. And I don't want to see Melissa go. So I hope that they can get it together.
Yeah. Do you think if Melissa was let go that Margaret and Teresa would film together?
No, I don't think Margaret wants to film with Teresa. So
you think Margaret would lose her job over this? If she didn't have it, you think she'd just be like, oh, I'm good. It's fine.
I don't, you know what? I don't know. I know that Margaret stands very hard in, you know, what went down. And I think Margaret would be one, like, if they don't want me, then I think that, okay, that's your choice.
Yeah. All right. Well, we'll see. Now we're going to get into actual fan questions. The first one is, if you guys had to pitch a show to Bravo, what would it be?
Well, I think we both know the answer to that. And I think, I mean, there's a lot of shows that I'd want to pitch to Bravo, but for us doing a, like almost like a couch sit down, talk about the different shows on Bravo.
Well, I think that's interesting, but I also think a Housewives competition show.
Well, I've been saying
with
that
us
for
hosting
years.
Would be, I mean, so good because
there's only room for one host.
Well, then the other one of us that doesn't become the host, the Bravo Olympics, can compete.
So I had mentioned the Housewife Olympics and publicly, and Dorinda reached out to me and said, oh my God, that is a great idea. You need to pitch it to the show. And I'm thinking, to the network. And I'm thinking, yeah, as if they're going to give me any percentage of that.
Like, huh? Well, I also think there's room for a dating show for the Housewives, considering, I don't know, 80% of them are not married.
Or single. Oh, we talked about that on our trip. I was talking about that. And then last night we were out to dinner with my friend Heather Amin and Taylor and a few other of my friends that are single. And they were talking about that. That would be a great show.
Such a good show, whether it's like kind of like a Love Island or even like a Love is Blind type thing.
I would love to see more shows introduced to Bravo with housewives.
Right. Not just not like a girls trip where it's housewives, but where they're like playing off of Traitors or even House of Villains, like just immersing them with others. But I just think there is room for a dating show. I think it would be hilarious.
A dating show, a home improvement show. There's a lot of things that could come out with and just using housewife talent.
Can you not say home improvement show? Because I will never get cast on that. That is the worst. I don't even know how many inches this is.
Oh my God. It's as hot, tall as you. So it's 5'4".
Thank you for giving me an inch. What is the hardest thing about doing this podcast, in your opinion?
In all honesty, I don't think there's anything hard about doing the podcast. I love doing it. I enjoy doing it. It gets a little difficult when I'm filming. As you can see, I've missed a little bit just from being busy. But overall, it's enjoyable. It's fun. It's just exciting to be able to get out of bed, put a little bit of makeup on and a hat, and sit down and talk.
Yeah. I mean, I would never say it's hard. I feel like we're really lucky to be able to do this job because it's fun and we get to bounce off of each other and we've been able to grow it so much. I would say the only thing that sometimes I'm like, when I get to watch so many shows at one time.
That's difficult. Yeah.
And as I get older, like my memory is not the best, like keeping track. That part, sometimes I'm like, how am I going to give the best possible opinion that I can make when I've just watched 17 shows and I need to try to remember everything? But I wouldn't say it's hard.
Well, I'm not really a TV person. So the only time I really watch TV, other than obviously for the podcast, is at nighttime when Andy and I like go to bed at 8 o'clock and turn the TV on, and I will stay awake maybe 45 minutes because my Vina gummy will kick in and I am out for the count.
If you guys want to watch something so good, I just watched the new Colin Farrell show. It's called Sugar. It is so good.
I haven't even heard of that.
It is so good. It's on Apple TV. I was hoping everything was out so I could watch the entire season, but so far it's only 2 episodes and then they drop each Friday. But it is so good and you'll be in love with Colin Farrell and it is all the things.
We've been watching the show. Oh my God, I shouldn't have mentioned because I can't remember the name, but it's something alien on Netflix.
I don't know.
Freaking hilarious. It's so good.
It's a comedy. I don't watch comedies.
It's not like weird. Resident Alien is what it's called. And I'm telling you, if you haven't seen it, turn it on. We've been obsessed with it. Resident Alien on
Resident
Netflix.
Alien. All right.
It's not what you think. It's not like UFOs and some sci-fi movie. It's actually kind of a comedy.
Okay. I'll give it 20 minutes. Let's see.
Okay.
What is our opinion on Jill Zarin's, this is somebody else's words, not mine, Jill Zarin's horrendous appearance on Below Deck?
Oh, Jill, I actually wrote some notes about that.
All right, to explain this to me a little bit. I really...
So evidently, Jill Zarin was on Below Deck, and her appearance was less than stellar. She seemed like a little bit of a entitled biatch on there. She complained. She had specific requests. And she was the biggest complainer, couldn't find the electricity cord and made a fit about that, wanted a makeup mirror, and she said things like, I've taken a lot of yachts and they are stocked with toothpaste, toothbrushes, Band-Aids, Q-tips, and Tums. Just complaining, it looked like. And then one of the talent on the show said, she's a freeloading guest.
She wasn't even a primary guest. And I hate to be the bearer of bad news to anyone watching this show. If you are not working on Below Deck, if you're not one of the crew,
mm-hmm.
you are paying to be on that show. So mm-hmm. what did Jill want to do? She wanted to come in, bitch about her Diet Coke ice so that she could get more press.
What'd she say about
Diet Coke? She accomplished just that.
She didn't like the ice. I didn't hear that. She didn't like the ice in her Diet Coke?
She demanded separate style ice for her Diet Cokes.
Stop it.
Mm-hmm. I mean, listen, loved crushed ice as much as the next person.
I like the little crushed pellet ice.
Yeah, the ones you get after you have a baby.
But exactly. In the hospital, right? So, yeah, I think Jill likes airtime. And I think she knew if she did all this complaining, she would get some airtime. And boy, did she. And it's probably not the airtime she wanted.
Well, Jill, I think all press is good press. So there she goes. She got it.
Yep. I also heard that Jill's working on a reality show herself.
Yeah, she is with the chick from Unorthodox Life.
Yeah, Julia Hart.
Yes. Yeah, yeah.
Interesting to see that. So I'll take this next question since it doesn't refer to you. I'm almost 50. Does a woman's sex drive slow down? Absolutely. Absolutely. Me and Emily have this conversation all the time. She's not quite 50, but your hormones change. You're tired. You know, it's just things aren't as tingly as they used to be, but they have hormone replacement. One of them is testosterone. And unfortunately, I cannot take it because I can put one little dot of cream on my wrist and my face breaks up out in these deep white, they're called sebum or something like that.
Oh, yeah.
Like, and so I just, it's not worth it to me.
Well, I'm not 50, I'm 42, but I would say mine is definitely like this, depending on where my hormones currently are.
Yeah.
I used to be on, before all my cancer stuff, I was on different stuff like for my estrogen and mm-hmm. to try to level myself out. And it did help with sleep and sex drive and all that. Then yeah. Now I'm off. But I truly think for me at this point, as long as like my mindset is there, I can do it. If I'm like,
Yeah, but when you're younger, you don't need the mindset. All you need is a little.
Oh yeah,
little,
no, you just
need a little tickle, tickle. But I just say like, have your hormones check, see what you're lacking, see if they can balance them out. I'm not a big fan of pellets. I feel like these girls get pellets in their butt, and then if they don't work up for them, they're in their butt until they dissolve.
And they the measurement is a little askew.
Yeah. So I wouldn't do that. I have a great hormone doctor in Huntington Beach, Dr. Lee, and he's got an associate Singler, and he's been on the show with me before. They are amazing. Sex toys. We added sex toys into our.
I know. Tap the link. You can get Pinky. Also, I found a new Purply that's amazing.
Oh, you got to tell me about the Purply.
Purpley is like kind of like a pinky on steroids. And
oh, wow.
It's a real gem. It's a real gem. Okay, this one. If you could marry any of the house husbands aside from our own, who would you marry? Let's only go off this past season. Let's not go off of it all any time. That's too much.
I can say from my cast, there's two guys on the cast that I think are stand-up guys and good guys, and that's Terry DeBro and Shane Simpson.
Who would you rather have sex with of those two, though?
I mean, threesome.
Even though you're over 50.
I don't want to think about having sex with anybody other than my husband, so that's kind of weird for me to even answer that, but I would marry either one of them.
Would you rather be with John Jansen or David Bedore?
John Jansen.
Well, I'm going to go, shockingly, I'm not going to pick anyone from OC.
Yeah.
I'm picking Russell from Miami. He's my pick.
Russell from, he's a good guy.
Just like a good guy. He's nice. He seems on his shit.
Yes, he's a really handsome, supportive, very supportive husband. They've been married for years. Yeah.
One of our producers just said they think Evan and me would be a good combo.
I like Evan too.
I don't know. I'm not sure. He's a blonde. I haven't really gone for a blonde in a bajillion years.
Yeah, me either. I'm not attracted to blondes. So that's not for me, but yeah.
I don't know.
This next question is, do you think Kyle should take a break from Beverly Hills?
I mean, then what are they going to talk about? Sutton's horse?
Her esophagus. I think Kyle should do whatever's right for Kyle, and Kyle's good about doing that. I know that she has, I think this question is stemmed from maybe an interview she had said.
On Amazon Live, I think.
Yeah, and said she wasn't sure. But I think that's something that goes through every long-term housewife's mind after every season.
Every season, especially when you have a hard one.
Especially this season for her. Yeah, I've had those thoughts, like, no more, I can't do this. I don't want to do this. No, thank you.
But I do think if you choose to leave, no matter who the person is, if you choose to leave, it's very hard then to want to come back.
Yeah, I don't know that there's too many housewives that choose to leave.
I know. Well, I think I went through them the other day with Carlos. I think there was like three.
What did he say about it?
He said that most people financially aren't choosing to leave because the money's too good. He said Candy, Portia, and Bethany have been the only ones that have chosen. Oh, and Monique that have chosen to leave.
There's also another level of leaving. The Lisa Vanderpump. The leaving because you know you're going to get fired. So you bow out before your pink slip comes.
Yeah. I mean, I think that whether it's, you know, the pink slip's coming or you're not, you don't want to deal with it. I mean, there was always the rule. If you didn't come to a reunion, you were fired. But essentially, if you're not coming to the reunion, you're quitting. So
but isn't that what Lisa Vanderpump did? She didn't go to the reunion. And then she's like, okay, I quit. But she knew that she was probably going to get let go.
Yeah, but she didn't. She had already stopped filming. Like, there was already, like, anybody that was like, oh, I thought she was going to come to the reunion. I was like, she's absolutely not coming to the reunion.
Yeah.
Like, we filmed so many things that she hasn't been at. She's not going to just, she's not the type that's going to like plop down first seat and then just try to fight with you that way. Like, it's not how her British humor works.
Yeah.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robey,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
Thank you for taking the light, and you're going to shine it all over the world, and it makes me really happy.
I never imagined that I would get the chance to carry this honor and help be a part of this legacy.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
Mother's Day is right around the corner, and in true She Pivots fashion, we're highlighting moms who've dedicated their lives and their pivots to supporting mothers. The iconic Christy Turlington will join us to talk about launching Every Mother Counts after pivoting from her 90s supermodel days. And later, the co-CEOs of Baby to Baby will share how they're addressing the needs for millions of babies and moms. So tune in and subscribe to She Pivots. New episodes out every Wednesday. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Every family has skeletons in their closet. Mine certainly does. Ones that go back 100 years and reach thousands of miles back to our hometown in Sicily. Ever since I can remember, my relatives told the story of my great-great-grandmother who was killed by the mafia. I'm Joe Piazza, and in my new podcast, I'm taking on a generational vendetta, visiting the scene of the crime, confronting mafia experts, tracking down Italian officials, and even consulting mediums to set the record straight on my great-great-grandmother's mysterious disappearance. And in between the fact-finding missions, I'll be drinking a lot of wine and eating all of the pasta. Come to Italy with me to solve this 100-year-old murder mystery. Listen to The Sicilian Inheritance on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Tamara, I know you can't give spoilers, but describe the upcoming OC season in one word.
Well, I'm going to say epic. I've never filmed a season like we're filming this year. I mean, we could have stopped filming a month ago and had a full season. Yeah. It's crazy. We even said, like, after the trip, can't we just be done now? Now we only have a week left of filming. And in my mind, it's done. It's over with. Like, it is, you guys, I can't even explain how good it is. Of course, I know what we filmed. Then it goes into, you know, the editor's hands and they put it all together. Because, you know, guys, yes, there's an editor. Because guess what? We can't show thousands of hours of filming. It's just, they have to put it together to make it all make sense. So, you know, I think that with everything we have, I don't know that us or any other Housewife franchise can top it.
Yeah. If you never joined Housewives, where do you think you'd be today?
That is a question, because I've been on it for, you know, I've been on the Bravo network for 16 years. That's a hard one. I mean, I know that I would still not be married for sure. I probably would have really leaned into real estate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think I would have still had All In, because I had All In before Housewives. And then I think I probably would have gone back to professionally riding horses.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's,
but now
it's what I know and it's what I love.
At this point, there's nothing for me to go, you know, to go back into real estate unless I lost everything I had, because I'm 56 and I've been saving for retirement. So I after this, I'm like, I'm just going to sit on a rocking chair and, you know.
Yeah, right. We're going to be like this many.
I know.
Hello, welcome to another episode of Two Teas in a Pod with Teddy and Tamara.
I do think that we can become consultants for housewives coming in to the show. That could be like a side hustle.
I can be like, how you can be the most hated.
Yeah. I think both of us could do that.
You know what? We both could probably hold that flag. What housewife have you interviewed that has surprised you the most?
Oh my God. I think that Angie K definitely surprised us in San Francisco.
Mm-hmm.
How open and flamboyant and throwing roses in the audience and all that. I'm like, whoa, where is this coming from? Because I feel like on the show, she's not.
She's reserved.
Yeah. She's more reserved. And then going to our flashback shows, guys, if you don't subscribe, you need to subscribe. We recap all the old housewife shows and we have some of the oldies but goodies as guests. And I think Joe De La Rosa was very shocking because she was so young on the show. Yeah. That it was, you know, the baby voice, baby, young, da, da. And now she is a woman and she is
and
married.
She's self-deprecating.
Yes.
And can laugh at herself.
Yes.
And
but overall, I think that, you know, there's a lot of housewives that have surprised me. There's housewives that come on that I necessarily didn't care for, you know, on the show. But then when you meet them and talk to them, they're like, oh my God, they're so cool.
Yeah.
So cool.
I mean, I think
Drew was one of them for me.
Yeah. Drew was amazing. Yeah. I loved Robin once I met her, like once I interviewed her at BravoCon. The hardest ones for me, and I want to be very clear, this doesn't mean I don't like them. I love them as housewives, but when they come on and they're so media trained,
yeah,
that you're unable to connect. like in a certain way.
There's a few of them that are very media trained and will not give you. Two that I really love, Candy and Larsa. They're very smart. They know what they want to put out there. They control the narrative. The ding dongs like me will get on, you know, an interview and just spill my guts.
Right. But I think we can feel it within the first 5 seconds, what kind of interview we're going to get from somebody. Yeah. Like I knew right away, like with it, whether it was like Larsa or Candy, like I knew right away. I was like, well, I'm going to keep asking and I'm going to keep getting pushback. Whereas like Kiki was
amazing.
Open book. So much fun.
NECA was great too. I mean, do you know how many housewives we've interviewed in our 2.5 years?
A lot. I mean, especially because the amount of times we've done like multiple people at once.
Yeah.
Like even Alexia and Marisol blew me away too. Yeah.
I like all our interviews and very appreciative that they come on and, you know, talk to us. So, I mean, all of them have been pretty amazing.
Which is what I want to point out to anybody that does get upset at us because we share our opinions. These housewives are willing to come on and talk to us because they, just like us, watch this show, see the good, the bad, and the ugly, realize when they look like assholes, realize when they look good. I mean, we even found a way to make the Toms look good.
I know. I know.
that is a feat in itself.
Well, I will say after, you know, having them on our show and then going on theirs, you know, there was all this stuff about Tom and there still is so much hate about him. I really saw him as a person. At the end of the day, we're all human, navigating through reality TV and doing some stuff that you should not be doing and getting caught is difficult. And on ours, I feel like he did take accountability.
Yeah. Well, I don't know that he necessarily took accountability, but I did, whenever we do a podcast swap, I do really appreciate seeing how some people do it versus how the twats do it. Mm-hmm. And Tam, you know, I hate to pat ourselves on the back. We're pretty damn good at it. We're pretty well-oiled machine around her.
We are.
A well-oiled machine of pissing people off.
Yeah. Well, there's a question that people ask all the time. How are housewife salaries structured? Why does no one discuss what they are paid? We are not allowed to discuss what we are paid. I don't know how they're structured, but there used to be in the early days, it was kind of like a ladder, you know, but now I think there's too many franchises. It probably depends on numbers and viewers and advertisers and all those things. So some housewife shows, like for instance, Atlanta in the past was always huge in ratings, 3, 4, 5 million, where some of them get 800,000.
I mean, clearly the longer you on, the more that you make. And I do believe this. When there's room, like when a famous housewife that's, you know, or a famous person joins the show and they're like, so-and-so made $2 million their first season. No. I don't believe that is
No. Never happened.
I do not believe it's ever happened, because even if this person was known prior to becoming a housewife, it's not like this person was like Julia Roberts or Beyonce. Like,
these are people that have not been on TV for many years that were famous at one point in their life. But if they were to bring on Julia Roberts, I'm telling you right now, she ain't getting no $2 million season.
I mean, according to Reality Blurb, I made $2 million my first season. You know what I can tell you? That I spent as much as I made my first season.
Most people do. Most people do. But so why don't we not talk about it? Well, first of all, I don't know what most people make.
We don't talk about what we make doing the twats.
New girls will, on our show, will confide in me and ask me what I think, and I'll give them my opinion. But no, we're just not allowed to discuss it, and we don't know what other people make. So that's all.
And is that a thing that at jobs you all talk about your salaries? No, that's like a real asshole thing to do.
Well, I think there's so many fake stories out there that, you know, this one makes 3 million. This one only makes 50,000. I know for the longest time it was said that I made 600,000, and it was because at the time, this was 10 years ago, I was going through some legal stuff with my ex, and I had to write in, you know, my discovery and all that stuff, how much I made. And so people are just stuck on that.
Who do you think's the highest paid housewife currently?
I would say probably Candy would be up there.
But she's not a current housewife.
She's not. Well, no, not currently. But, you know, and then again, I don't know. I really don't know.
Me neither. But you guys, it's been fun. It's been fun catching up with Tam.
We've missed you.
We've missed you. We want to do more questions. We want to even have one where you guys come in again like you did over the holidays, because it's really fun to dig in to the even more personal stuff that you guys that you guys can ask us.
I have a question though. I have a couple more questions.
What? Yeah,
We haven't enough time. I did a little thing. I did a little thing on my Instagram questions.
Okay. All right. Good.
Somebody asked, what do you think of Beverly Hills and Atlanta? Does the cast need a shake up?
Yeah, I think both do.
Yeah, I think both of them do. I think that it's going to happen. Another question.
Do you believe the Hilaria Baldwin?
I don't know. I just read that yesterday. Do you think that her husband would agree to that?
I do know this for fact.
That don't they live in New York?
Yeah, but I think in the thing it said like maybe they would move or something like that. But I do know this for fact. When you see the two together, it is very clear who wears the pants in the relationship. And it ain't Alec.
Yeah.
And it ain't Alec.
I've never seen a woman bounce back so fast in my life. 7 kids and she looks like a teenager. It's crazy.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know ultimately though how I don't know that I need to see her on Beverly Hills.
Yeah, I don't know much about her other than she has a lot of kids and she said she was from Spain when she wasn't or something like that.
Yeah.
Are you guys thinking about doing more live shows? Now, that is something that I would love to do. I think that's where it's at right now. So many live shows are popping up and that is definitely something we're talking about.
Yeah. I love it. I love it. I love the live shows. I want to do them. I would love to do some on the Midwest.
Me too.
Like places where like our people are.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. But yeah, that's all that I have for questions. And this was fun catching up and I can't wait to get back on, you know, a new schedule.
I know,
and,
me too.
And maybe just do our own podcast saying that's our opinion.
That's our opinion.
Yeah. And we can talk about whatever we want.
Deal with it. Well, I love you, but we will be back on Tuesday. And not only are we going to be recapping Potomac and Housewife headlines, we are also about to start Real Housewives of Beverly Hills season 2.
Yes. Season 2 on Flashback. Again, guys, you need to subscribe. It is, it's fun. And we'll have some old housewives and maybe some current ones on there doing interviews.
Love it. Bye, Tam.
Bye.
What up? I am Dramos, host of the Life as a Gringo podcast. This is a show for the No Sabo kids, the 200 percenters. Here we celebrate your otherness and embrace living in the gray area. Every Tuesday, I'll be bringing you conversations around personal growth, issues affecting the Latin community, and much more. Then every Thursday, I'll be tackling trending stories and current events from our community. Listen to Life as a Gringo on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I used to have so many men.
How this beguiling woman in her 50s,
she looked like $1 million,
scams a bunch of famous athletes out of untold fortunes.
Nearly $10 million was all gone.
It's just unbelievable.
Hide your money in your old Richmond, because she is on the prowl.
Listen to Queen of the Con, season 5, The Athlete Whisperer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's like the police knew who he was before they got here.
From iHeart Podcasts.
The medical school dean at USC was leading a secret double life.
He's breathing right now?
Yes, he's absolutely breathing. I'm a doctor, actually.
A story about money, power, and corruption.
When people fall in line, they fall in line.
Looking back, I realized, oh, everyone knew.
I'm Paul Pringle, an investigative reporter for the LA Times. Listen to Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.